Amen. Amen. Be seated. How many are glad you're here this morning? Yeah. So good. God is so good. Amen. So glad you're here in the long week, last long weekend of the summer, I guess. And you know, lots of people are traveling in a way, but so glad that you're here today in the house. And so glad that you're also joining online by a live stream. So privileged to be standing up here and speaking to you wonderful people. You know, God recognizes not just a crowd, He recognizes the individual, you know, and He calls each one of us. How many of you have been watching that great series called Chosen? Chosen, have you watched? Isn't that incredible? And if you haven't, you've got to watch it. Because, you know, it's incredible. I mean, it just comes to life. It makes the Word of God come to life. And, you know, that's about, like, the Word is life. And the Word is about individual. Here's God. He's, you know, Jesus is still calling people today like He called those individuals. Each one unique, each one special, each one gifted, each one contributes to the primary purpose of life, which is the kingdom. Amen? So glad that you're here. You have a plan, you have a purpose, you are loved by God today. Okay, I'm ready to jump into the Word of God. We're starting a brand new series. It's called Hope Is Here. Hope is here. And today, I want to talk to you specifically about this thing called the anchor of hope that God has given us. So let's pray. Let's bless, ask God to bless this word. So you just bow your heads and agree with me in prayer. Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our hearts to believe. Help us to hear your word, to believe your word, and to live this word for you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 Jump right in. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. The words of the writer, I think most scholars agree, it was the Apostle Paul. Here's what he said. Each word, so important. Ready? We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not what? We do not drift away. The writer of Hebrews is using that very specific word, drift, and it's a nautical term. And he's warning us about the dangers of drifting in life, just drifting around in life, floating around with no purpose. You know, I believe that's maybe the primary one of the primary reasons why God puts us in a ship, a fellowship, the family of believers, where we're heading in the same destination together, serving together, doing life together with Jesus at the helm. Amen? Your life is like a ship. It's like a boat. And here's what you need to understand today. That like a ship, point number one, that if you're not anchored, you will drift. It is dangerous for boats to drift. It is dangerous for you and I to drift around in life. Boats drift. You cannot leave a boat in one place one day and expect it to be in the same place tomorrow, right? Boats drift, and so do people drift. Why? The question is why. You know why? Because we live in a windy, stormy world of questions and assumptions and people's opinions and philosophies of this world. And we could easily get caught up in all this. You know, we live in a world of our own bad experiences and others' bad experiences. We live in a world of fear and anxiety and disappointments. And if you get involved, if you get focused or fixated on any one of these, you know, it can literally change the course of your life, can't it? You know, you could be riding high on the waters of faith on Sunday, feeling good about yourself, secure about your future. But then on Monday, you can just drift into disappointment and disillusionment and hopelessness. And that can happen so easily in our life. You know, we all have a soul, don't we? We all have a soul. A soul is made up of essentially what? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Hebrews 6, verse 19 says, we have this what? hope. We have this hope. It's an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Let me tell you, you know, there's a lot of consciousness about taking care of your body today. You know, the exercise and food. But you know what's so important? Your soul is so important. Perhaps your soul is even more important than your physical body. Because whatever gets into your soul will eventually get right into your heart. It's the seat of who you are. So important. It gets whatever you get, whatever you get involved with and consumes your mind, your will, and emotions will eventually get into your heart, good or bad. So on your PowerPoint, you know, the anchor, here Paul says, the anchor for your soul is hope. The anchor for your soul is hope. Hebrews 6:19 in the Passion Version, I like this version, says this: we have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor. And what does that do? What does hope do? Holding our souls to God Himself, our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. Hope is what connects us to God Himself. It connects us to the throne room of God. It lashes us to the throne room of God. When the storms and the winds come, we are so connected to God that it can't send our lives crashing into the waves of this world in disappointment. Amen? Hope is so important. And that's why the devil works so hard to take your hope, to steal people's hope. Proverbs 13:12 says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope, when it's put off, when it's not realized, literally will make you sick. That's what it's saying. It'll make you sick in your soul. Do you ever notice that? Karen was saying that. You know, when I lose my hope, I just start to, you just got to spiral downward, you know, and you've got to go back and hold on to your hope, amen? You know, in the Message version, it says, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick, but a sudden good break can turn life around. The unanchored soul will drift into heartache and disappointment and negativity and doubt. And this is, you know, that's what makes it sick, doesn't it? It affects our bodies as well. You know, I said, we of all people, Christians, born-again Christians, we are to be a people of hope, aren't we? There's a popular statement that says, human beings can live for 40 days without food, 4 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but cannot live 4 seconds without hope. Hope is so critical. Humans seek after hope like moths seek after light. Neuroscientists say that hope is so essential to our survival that it's literally hardwired into our brains, arguing it can make the difference between living a healthy life versus one being trapped in despair. See, we need hope. Boy, do we never need hope today, don't we? You know, but the question is, what is hope? Let's try to identify what is hope. Here's the dictionary definition. You look it up in most dictionaries, it'll tell you this. Hope is an expectation of something good happening in your life. It's an expectation. But it's not just a wish. There's this big difference between a wish and an expectation, right? Hope is not a wish. It's hope is an expectation of something good. And I say hope is so incredibly important to us because here's why on your PowerPoint. Because your expectations, your hope can literally set the limits on your life. What you see in life, what you receive in life can be limited by what you're hoping for. Do you believe that? That's a powerful truth. So let's expand this definition to a more biblical definition. Hope in the Bible. Hope is this. Hope is the expectation of what? Come on, say it with me. What? Of God's goodness. Not just something good happening, but literally God's goodness. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from where? It's from above, coming down from who? The Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's so reliable. as believers, you know, as believers, where does our hope come from? It doesn't come from somewhere from outer space. It doesn't come from anyone or anywhere in this world. Where does it come from? It comes from God. Our hope is the expectation of God's goodness in your life. Amen? Ask you a question. How do you wake up in the morning? How do you wake up in the morning? Grouchy, yeah, a lot of people do. You know, some people wake up in the morning and say, oh, man, you know, like I wonder what bad thing is going to happen to me today. Yesterday wasn't so good. Like, how am I going to survive today? You know, but that's not how we as believers wake up. You know, when we wake up, we should say, wow, God, I wonder what good thing that you have planned for me today. What blessing do you have in store for me today? Isn't that the attitude we should have? I love my grandkids. Wow. There's a picture of my grandkids. Incredible kids, right? Yeah, and Karen loves them. Of course she does. But, you know, our kids, and they're just, our grandkids are, every time Nan goes away, every time Karen goes away, Grandma goes away, and she goes away to Nelson or anywhere, every time she goes away, they are so excited, and they're just waiting to come, her to come back, because they are expecting something good from Karen when she gets home. Amen? I mean, that's not the only reason, but it's a big reason. They can't wait, because they always know when Karen comes home, when Nan comes home, something good is going to be given to them. Let me give you a revelation. And I know you know this, but I tell you, this is so important for us as believers to grab hold of. It is so incredible that if we really get deep within us and understand and live us, it'll change your life forever. You know what that revelation is? It's a revelation for me too, as well. Here it is. You and I are children of God. We are children of God. And we are so loved by our Heavenly Father, who is so kind, so loving, so caring, and so generous. And He wants to be good to you. Amen? We need to grab a hold of us. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, say, what did Jesus say? Say who? Father in heaven. Father in heaven. Jesus exhorts us to come to the Father like little children. Don't come up all grown up, all mature, thinking you know it all. Just come like a little kid. Just come asking God, loving God. Amen? We need to anticipate, expect God's goodness from the Father. And hope is really a person, isn't it? So, if today is a package, today is a present, what good thing has God for me and for you today? Today, next week, next month, this year, what good thing are you anticipating from God? Are you hoping for something good that's beyond what this world can give you? Amen. If you hope, if you expect in the hard times, then you can expect God to give you good things in your future. Do you believe that? Psalm 25, verse 7. It was David, the man with the heart after God, cried out to God and said to him, when you think of me, see me as one you love and care for. How good you are to me. He declares that. Psalm 23, verse 6. David said, surely your what? Your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Not surely trouble, hardship, bad luck will pursue me. No. He says, you know, good things are chasing after me, and literally I can't get away from them. God is so good to me. Amen? Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. The words of Jesus himself. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Say with me these three words. How much more? How much more? Will who? Your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. How much more good is God? He's 1,000 times. He's 1,000,000 times. He's 1,000,000,000 times more than anybody else, right? God is so good to us. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. So the question is, why do we doubt? Why do we question? You know, what we need to do right now, you know, and today in our life is literally take this anchor and drop it where? In the goodness of God. Don't drop it in any hope in this world could offer you. Drop it in the goodness of God and literally take your faith stance there. No matter what's bad is happening in your life, take your faith stance there. Amen? Yes. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11 talks about faith. Listen carefully. Now, faith is what? Faith is the confidence in what we hope for. That's what faith is. Faith is not some big fancy thing that you got to take a course on theology to try to understand. Faith is literally confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see that will come from God. Amen? Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. Two lepers heard about Jesus, and they follow him, and they literally chase him around. He goes into this house, and he goes indoors with them. He said, and when Jesus, had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Okay, according to your faith, he said to them, okay, according to your faith, according to your expectations, according to your confidence in what you hope for, it will be done for you. It's the same thing for you and I today. That's why it's so important to keep your hope and keep your expectations vibrant, right, before the Lord. Amen? On your PowerPoint, your expectations, again, will, and your hope will set the limits on your life. And next point, our faith, our hope has to be based, has to be anchored on the goodness of God. Amen? Point number one, the anchor for your soul is hope. Point number two, you can choose to have hope in every situation and circumstance in your life. You can have hope. Everybody say with me, I can choose. You can choose to have hope. When things don't go right in your life, you don't have to drift into self-pity and discouragement. You don't have to sulk and feel sorry for yourself. You don't have to do that. When bad things happen in your life, you don't have to drift into this questioning about God, you know, how come these things are not happening, or questioning God's goodness, or let the winds and the waves just pull you and push you in every negative direction. You don't have to do that. You can choose to have hope. You can get anchored by your hope, your trust, and in the confidence of the goodness of God. Amen? There's a study done by theologians and philosophers called theodicy. Theodicy. Theodicy is the study of how God's goodness exists alongside the pains and injustices and hardships of life. Theodicy addresses the strong theological truth, and here it is. First of all, that God is good and life is hard. You've probably heard this before. God is good and life is hard. So, the fact that God is good doesn't cancel out the fact that life is hard, does it? And the fact that life is hard does not cancel out the fact that, say it with me, God is good. See, both exist side by side. And they're right, you know, front and center of our life. And every day, right, we're faced with that battle, that challenge. Theodicy can, you know, it's what's really important is which reality you choose to live from. Which one do you choose to live from? Do you ever notice people that choose to live from the life is hard perspective? They're always, you know, they're always talking about, they're complaining about their life, and you try to have a conversation with you, and you try to bring something good or positive, and they're always, and you notice they're always trying to turn it back to that, oh, but life is so hard perspective, aren't they? I say, it's such a contrast between those two perspectives. It's like they can actually polarize people, right? They're like water and oil. I say it's so hard to spend a lot of time with a CNN person, a constantly negative news person, right? Theodicy concludes, in this world, yes, both evil and good exist. You can't explain it why. Can't explain why they just exist. But God's goodness is not equal to the hardships of life. God's goodness far surpasses all the hardships that we can experience in life if we look to Him. Amen? You know, our tendency, and I don't know about you, but it's my tendency to sometimes get so focused on the bad that I can't even see the good anymore in my life. And I think what we got to do is stop looking at the bad and start looking for the good that wants to bring into our life. Eh? That focus, that perspective is so important. Kevin Jarrell wrote a book about good things, and I'm just about done here. And he wrote a book, and in those words he said this, that a good life, like a book, is made up of many chapters. And a chapter is a chapter, but it's not the story of your life. And that's such a good analogy, isn't it? And you know, I don't know where you are in life, or maybe some of you watching online, I don't know where you are, what chapter you might be in. Maybe right now it's not an easy chapter. I know people that have just gotten, you might have just gotten a bad medical report from your doctor. Or maybe you're struggling with, you know, the pains of separation or divorce. Or maybe you're caught up in a family issue or relational thing that's really hard and you're struggling with that. Or maybe you're caught up in a job that you don't like and you're still looking for your career fit. You know, you can be involved in any one of these things. But like he says, as difficult as a chapter may be, it doesn't have to define you or be the story of your life. You don't decide all the chapters in your life, but how you see them, how you frame them, decides your story. See, you don't decide what family you were born into. You don't decide what problems you're going to have in life, right? You don't decide what others might say or do to you. You don't know what friends might just turn on you, just leave. You don't know who's going to stay with you. You don't know who's going to go, do you? Yeah, it's the story of your life. But you have the chance to frame every situation into a perspective, right? You get to decide how you're going to see things in life. And here are three ways that people can do it in a negative sense. Some frame it in the pain and injustice frame, the frame of a victim mentality. Some frame it in the fate and defeat. Well, it's just the story of my life. Yeah, par usual, right? Some frame it in the frame of hiding their pain and drugs, alcohol, partying. Or you can choose the perspective that God wants you to have. Amen? Romans 8:28. This is the Message version. That's why we can be so sure that every detail of our lives, of love for God, is worked into something good. You don't decide all the chapters of your life, but how you frame them will decide the outcome of your story. It's so good, isn't it? It is right. The reality is what? Life is hard, but God is good. Life is hard, but God is good. So let's get anchored. Let's get anchored in the goodness of God. Let's believe to have God's favor even when we don't see it. No, let's trust in God even when it just seems like God is invisible. Amen? Amen. You know, and let's be honest. We know, I know it's not easy to always keep your spirit up and keep your hope up. Sometimes it's the most difficult thing to do when you're going through trials and to struggle. And that's where, you know, you just got to stubbornly put your faith and your confidence in God, right? Put your hope and your confidence in the goodness of God, no matter what. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads. Father God, today I pray for an understanding that goes beyond what I can see. I ask, Lord, for a better perspective for us. When I have good days, let my perspective be right. When I have bad days, keep my perspective on you. Wherever we are in this process, help us to see you in every single step of the way. Father, we declare. Will you declare this with me? Will you repeat these words? Say after me. Even in the storm, I believe you will do good things for me. In Jesus' name I declare. Amen and amen. Amen. Keep your heads bowed. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus came into this earth to give you life, a new start in life, abundant life. But it just, you know, you can have that merely by believing that he died on the cross to pay for your sins. The first thing he wants to do is set you free and forgive you of all your sins. And then he wants you to receive him into your heart, to literally come and occupy your heart, your soul, and to be Lord and Savior of your life. And if you've never done that, this is your opportunity to today. You receive a Savior. You enter into a divine relationship with the King of Heaven, with your Heavenly Father, and you receive a new start in life, an eternal life in heaven when you pass from this earth. Amen? If that's you and you want to receive Christ, bow your heads to whisper this prayer that will change your life for all eternity. Are you ready? Pray after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you, and I receive you into my heart today to be Savior of my life. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins and holding no offense against me. Thank you for the gift of salvation and eternal life and a relationship with you. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. And amen. If you said that prayer for the very first time and you're here with us in person, will you just raise your hand? Raise your hand and wave it high. Wave it high. Wave it before the Lord. And if you said that prayer, I want you to go right back to the, what they call the welcome lounge. There's a lamp there and a table there. And I believe Karen is going to be there to tell you what your next faith step, your exciting adventure with God is going to be. If you said that prayer online, just touch that little hand at the bottom of the screen and we'll appoint someone to talk to you and to lead you into your next faith step and walk with Christ. Amen? Thank you for making that wonderful decision. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Amen.